Let's read in the book of Ephesians now, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like to read two verses, and I think I might be able to say that this is the great connect. This is just the flip side of what Mr. Ramsey's been speaking of. This is really a verse or two verses that describe the tremendous result of the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse number 8. And it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 27 words. And yet in those 27 words, we have learned a little of the tremendous work that God has done through his Son, that we might be connected, that we might be saved, that we might have eternal life, that we might enjoy his presence. And tonight, that's exactly what God wants you to understand and believe personally tonight. Interesting that when Paul wrote this statement, in fact, this entire letter, he was not in a nice office or in a nice building. He was actually in prison. Sometimes when, of course, I've never been in prison, and I hope I never will be, but those are not user-friendly places. Those are not the type of places where you'd want to be. But here's a man, just for the sake of the gospel, just because he was preaching the gospel, he had been thrown into prison, and yet despite his circumstances where he was, this man's spirit was soaring. This man was not writing a letter of regret or a letter of moroseness or sorrow or sadness. Here was a man who was rejoicing in salvation, in this wonderful truth about being connected, of being linked with the God of, really the God of heaven. And he's writing to people that once sat where you're sitting tonight. These were people that had been marked by sin, as we've all been marked by sin. In fact, as he writes the first part of this chapter, chapter 2, he makes them aware of what they used to be. They were dead. They were helpless. They were hopeless. They had no life. There was no response to God. And yet the kindness and the grace of God moved toward them that they might be linked with him eternally. And so as he writes to these people that have heard the gospel and received Christ, he says to them, "I want to tell you exactly what happened." And so he writes these words, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want to take four words out of these 27 words. Four words that you likely haven't heard today. These are not common words. Maybe one of them is. But I would venture to say that very few of us have, in the course of this day, heard these words used. But these are great words. These are great realities that God has given us in his word. And these are words and truths and realities that focus for us what God has done for this world. What are the words? I want to speak, first of all, tonight, "For by grace." Grace. Did you hear grace today used? Not likely. It's not a common word. It's not a common reality in this world, because the world doesn't run on grace. But you know, it says, "For by grace are you saved." And grace tonight is the answer, God's answer to our guilt, to our sin. And tonight God has revealed his grace to a sinful world, to sinners like you and me. "For by grace are ye saved." Do you hear that word today? Not likely. And yet this is a wonderful Bible word. This is a word that we love to speak of. That God's salvation is a reality that you can experience, that you need tonight. In fact, this book tells us all about salvation, about what Christ has done, that we might be saved from the penalty of our sins. And this truth is God's answer to our lostness. If a person has been saved, it implies that they were once lost. And tonight, grace is the answer to our guilt. Saved is the answer to our lostness. But there's another word I want to look at tonight. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You like, I didn't hear that word either used today. We don't speak about faith too much. We're living in a world in which we like to see things and handle things and touch things and feel things. But God moves on the basis of faith, that we might believe Him, we might trust Him, we might exercise faith. And it's the answer to all of our attempts to work for it. And yet there's one more word we have read. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Maybe some of you have heard about a gift today. Maybe you went and bought a gift today. But here is the greatest gift of all. It is the gift of God. And tonight in this gospel meeting, we're glad you're here. We want to tell you about the greatest gift. A gift that is being offered tonight without any price tag attached. You can turn it all around and you can look for the price tag. So much, you won't find it. It was paid for by someone else. A gift that is being extended to every individual without exception. You don't have to merit it. You don't have to try and get in line for it. You don't have to try and prove yourself worthy of it. This is a gift that's being extended to every single individual. And you could leave with the gift of God tonight personally. It is the gift of God. What's that the answer to? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I recall when I was working during my university days that I always looked forward to Thursdays. Now this happens to be Thursday. I love Thursdays. You know why? It was payday. It was when I got my wages. It was late afternoon, Thursday afternoon, when the boss would come around with the little brown envelopes. And he'd say, here, Marv, here's your wages. And in that little envelope would be a check for about $72 in those days. Worked a whole week. $1.50 an hour. After taxes, maybe $72. I worked for it. It was coming to me. You know what God says? The wages of our sin. It's coming. We've worked for it. We deserve it. But tonight, God doesn't want to give you the wages of sin. He doesn't want you to experience the awfulness of being separated from Him in hell forever. He says, I have provided a gift. The gift of God is eternal life, salvation, forgiveness. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is a tremendous verse, or these two verses are tremendous. They encompass the huge reality of what salvation is all about. And it starts with God's amazing grace. Have you ever experienced grace? We have an awful hard time, I think, in this world dealing with evil things. It was actually 2 years ago this month, in the city of Woodstock, which is about 45 minutes from where I live in Kitchener, Woodstock, Ontario. And maybe the news release came to Kamloops. I'm sure you likely saw it. But one day, as school was being let out, there was a little girl, 9-year-old girl, by the name of Victoria Stafford, that was heading out the door. Alongside of that door, there was a woman in a white jacket, and she somehow spoke to Victoria. And the video surveillance camera caught the image of a woman with a white jacket holding the hand of Victoria Stafford and was leading her from the schoolyard. That was the last time Victoria was seen. And by nightfall, there was a search on. The Amber Alert had been expressed. And as that search continued, and there were all kinds of leads given, and people were scrutinizing the countryside, there was just a growing apprehension as to the tragic outcome of what that event would bring. A number of weeks later, when Victoria had not yet reappeared. She wouldn't reappear. The mother of that 9-year-old girl went on the spoke with the media, and this is what she said. She says, "I want the killers of my daughter dead. I want the killers, the murderers of my daughter dead." Now, I can understand that. I can appreciate it. I can sympathize with the sentiments of that mother's heart. But you know what you call that? You call that vengeance. I want that person dead. That's vengeance. That's getting even. But there's another way of dealing with evil in this world. And that's justice. And justice did roll on. And a couple was apprehended. And they were convicted of murder. And tonight they're behind bars because justice caught up to them. But tonight God has dealt with us in a far greater way. Not vengeance. Not even justice. God has conveyed grace to us. Grace, receiving what we do not deserve. We've been hearing about man's sin, about that moment when he made a choice. And friend, tonight, God is not holding us responsible for Adam's choice, but God is holding us responsible for our choices. And the Bible tells us, and it was the verse that convicted me of my sin, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And you know, when I read that word turn, that involves the will. You came into this building, you had to turn in. If you'd kept going down the street, you'd have missed the road in. You had to make a choice. And tonight God tells us every single one of us have made a choice. And a lot of choices. We've chosen to go our own way. We've chosen to disregard God's word. We've chosen to spurn his grace. We have chosen to sin. To just please ourselves. To do it our way. And God, you can stay out of my life. And for almost 22 years, that's what I told God. Not interested. But there came a moment when I realized, oh God, I am guilty. Oh God, I've broken your law. I have gone my own way. And I understood that it was the wrong way. It was the way that leads to hell. And for the first time in my life, I needed grace. If I got what I deserved, I would experience the judgment of my sin. God is a holy God. God cannot tolerate sin. God doesn't kind of turn his eye and say, no, I didn't see that. No problem. God didn't lower standard. God is absolutely just and holy. And he will never tolerate sin. And yet the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And you know, as I read this verse again, I couldn't help but appreciate the fact that this verse is filled with Christ. Oh, his name is not there. But the truth of the reality of the Christ is there. Because tonight when it comes to grace, the Bible tells us we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor. Here's the reason why. That we, through his poverty, might be made rich. We love rags to riches stories, don't we? We love to hear of those that are down and out and they got a lucky break. They won the lotto or they worked hard and they somehow made it and now they're a success story. That's what the world lives for. Rags to riches, poverty to millionaires. Tonight, the Bible says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is seen in this way. The very one who is rich. And I might as well tell you, I can't begin to understand how rich he was. You see, he's the eternal God. He's the mighty creator. He's the one who angels and seraphim, angelic hosts, bow before. and declared his glory and his holiness. He who was rich, for our sakes he became poor. And when he came, we're well aware of the royal event tomorrow. The city of London has been transformed. They tell me that because of the heat wave, drooping tulips are being cut off because nothing is going to mar the day. Even tulips have to go. And the streets are likely being cleaned over and over and over again. And the flags are flying and the banners are up. Westminster Abbey is at its finest. Why is that? For one event. And yet when the King of Kings came, there was no one trimming the flowers. There were no bands playing. He became poor. His birth was almost unnoticed. A few shepherds came. At a later date, a few wise men came. He should have been acknowledged with a universal response. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But, oh friend, he came. He came. He was rich, for your sakes became poor, just so that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. And tonight, grace is being extended to this world. Undeserved kindness. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. And yet this grace is unreserved. It's not just a little bit of grace, not a little bit of favor. It's the very heart of God revealed. And tonight God desires and God commends that you would embrace grace. For by grace, what a wonderful truth, what a gracious word, what a thrilling reality. Grace embraced. But it says, for by grace are ye saved. I wonder if you've ever acknowledged your lostness. I wonder if you've ever seen yourself as that piece of chain lying on the carpet floor. And you have been able to say, that's me. There are those in this meeting tonight, and we can say, that's where I once was. Lost in my sins. You know, the Bible uses this word lost. In fact, there's whole chapters given to describe what it means to be lost. Lost in our direction. Lost really in our enjoyment of a family relationship. Lost in our relationship to God. Lost in the purpose for which we were made. It's only when a person acknowledges, oh God, I am lost, that they'll acknowledge, I need to be saved. Salvation is for lost sinners, for lost people. And it's only when a person acknowledges, oh God, I am lost, that they'll look for a Savior. I told you this verse is filled with Christ. And I couldn't help but think of the words of the angel as he spoke to Joseph one day. And the angel said to Joseph, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, when the Lord Jesus was sent, when the Savior came, he came not to condemn, but he came to save. He came to be the Savior of the world. And tonight, that's the very one that we're able to tell you of, that you could trust and you could be saved tonight. It was 10 years ago, on a dark January morning. We were living in Newfoundland at the time on the extreme East Coast. I was really unaware until later of what was happening out in the Atlantic, but there was a freighter coming across the Atlantic. The night was dark, 4 o'clock in the morning. Most of the mariners on that MV Flair, the name of the ship was the Flair. Most of the sailors were asleep in their bunks. There were just a couple of men up on the bridge trying to get that ship through the storm. There's a high sea on, huge waves, biting wind, cold enough to freeze you. A January morning in the Atlantic is not a nice place to be. At 4 o'clock in the morning, there was a sound that went through the hull of that ship that woke every single one of those mariners up. They had never heard that sound before. And they knew like that something had happened. I'm not sure how quickly those men came on up on deck. But when they did, they were horrified by what they saw. You know what happened? That freighter had literally split in two. Two pieces encompass that ship now. 26 men on this part, on the stern. 4 men on the bow. And in the darkness of that January morning, lost power. Those two pieces began to drift apart. And the stern began to sink. And what I ask you tonight, what do those men need at that point? Good breakfast? Better wages? More instruction? Better retirement package? You know, you say it's obvious, Marv. What those men needed? They needed someone to save them. Someone to come alongside. Because those men were going down. They couldn't even send out an SOS or a Mayday. Power was gone. And those 24 men on that stern part of that vessel began to sink, and before morning's light came, they were gone. Tragically, somehow the bow section continued to float for 2 days, and they were ultimately rescued. But what those men needed was someone to save them. And you know, tonight, as I thought of those two pieces of ship, I was just like the two parts of the chain here tonight. What a picture of the world drifting apart, drifting in their sins, in the darkness of their course, helpless and hopeless. And yet this verse tells us what God has done. This verse tells us what we can experience. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now tonight, it's not a matter that I can hope to be saved. My dear friend, tonight, I don't have my fingers crossed about salvation. I'm not hoping that everything's going to work out all right. I'm not trying to do my best so that somehow I get to heaven. And if that was the case, I'd never make it. Never. This word is so definite here, isn't it? It's not something down the road. It's not some possibility that might come. It's not some kind of a lotto win that we might get. Oh no, this is an absolute certainty, for by grace are ye saved. And tonight, that's exactly what God is telling us. There was a jailer in Acts chapter 16. You can read all about him. He went to sleep one night. No concern about his soul. No concern about getting saved. But God shook the very foundation of that prison and he woke up. And he came in. And he spoke to two preachers and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, without any hesitation, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will be saved." Tonight, we're able to tell you the very same thing. That salvation is not something that we have to work for, or we have to kind of wait for. Salvation is God's amazing work. And you could leave this gospel meeting this night saved through his grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You say, where's Christ in that part of the verse? You see, when you're going to have faith in someone, it's going to have to be reliable. And the Savior, we're able to tell you up tonight, he can be trusted. God cannot lie. And as we pick up his book, we find that this is a book of truth. This is a book of reliability. This is a book of accuracy. I know the world thinks very little of this book. But this is the book of God. This tells us how we have sinned, and this tells us about our condition. But this book tells us how we can be saved. And as I read God's word, I was made aware I needed to be saved. And as I read God's word a bit further, I realized that God has sent his son to save me. And there came a moment when, as I've already mentioned, I was reading Isaiah 53 and 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. I said, that's me. we have turned everyone to his own way, and I wasn't worried about anybody else. I said, that's me. I've gone my own way. And then I read these golden words, and the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. You say, what's that all about? Let me just tell you very briefly, because my time is gone. There was a moment in the history of this world when a righteous God took our sins and laid it on his Son, the sin bearer, and judged him instead of me. I maybe mentioned it the other night, a verse of a hymn that I love to sing. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree, on the cross. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing and receiving, I go free. And tonight, God is conveying a message to you about what he has done, that there might be a great connect. And he's appealing to you that you might trust him, that you might believe him, that you might exercise faith in what he says. And when a person does, the result will be the enjoyment of a gift. You could leave with the greatest gift tonight. I don't know if you noticed, but Canada has sent a gift to the royal couple. A $50,000, I was going to call it a bursary. Well, it's a gift for the Canadian Coast Guard. The young couple has asked that they don't receive traditional gifts. They just want some gifts given for the welfare of countries. So there was a $50,000 gift given by Canada to the royal couple. Ah, my friend, this gift is far greater than that. This is eternal life. This will last for eternity. This is for your eternal blessing. And tonight you could leave with the greatest gift. I'll just quote the verse and we'll close. For by grace are ye saved through faith, through believing God. And that not of yourselves. It's not something that we do. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, because if it was, we'd all be boasters, lest any man should boast. Will you receive the gift tonight and leave with Christ an eternal life? Shall we pray?